flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, 215. You get a bonus 15 because you listeners have been so good during the dog segment.
Yeah.
Okay, yesterday, the callers. And I'm very much, we did this a couple, Styles and Watkins, as I said, Sactown Sports. We did this, what was it, last week in terms of the, does it bother you when people say we when comes to your team,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
And I will go on to say right now, that through the calls and the energy that we felt on these airwaves and just the feeling of everybody needing that beam, you're not, and just listening to the crowd last night and you were in the building, you're not going to tell me that you can't say we. You're not going to tell me, man, that the kingdom or whatever you want to call King fans, you're not, the beam regime, that's what I call them, you're not going to tell me that that wasn't a part of that win.
I'm telling you, like, you don't really understand it until you're here, until you're like in the community and you understand and you hear from everyone out there. But I truly believe it's different. Like, I'm not a world traveler. I haven't been to all the baseball stadiums and all the football stadiums and basketball arenas out there. But I can tell you, just from watching from afar and watching how fan bases interact with teams after they win and lose, it's just the connection here is different. Nothing feels as close and as centric to a community as what the Kings are with this community. Like, when the Kings are good, when they're beaming, the entire city feels that the energy is different. Come playoff time, like, if the Kings are in the playoffs and you know you're going to be around downtown, you'll see just businesses act different. They got beam related food and drink specials and got Kings flags all over the place.
Yeah,
it really does. Like, they get compared to the college atmosphere a lot, and it really is like a college town, like, but with a professional team.
Or like and when you say college town, let's be specific, SEC.
Yes, SEC.
Sorry, no offense, Pac-12.
Sorry, Fresno. I love
high school,
y'all, but,
right? Yeah. High school Friday night lights. Yeah. Remember the Titans? You were telling me about the purple lights. We had the conversation about the beam yesterday. You were talking about the purple lights. People have their own beams.
Yeah.
So we love that. We love it.
It's awesome.
916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation on the text line and also the YouTube chat. Ernie Chavez, 1140, best station in Sacramento.
Come on,
Ernie.
Now. Come on now.
Ernie.
Come on.
This is only our 11th show.
It wasn't a question, though.
This is only our 11th show, but thank you, Ernie. We know, we appreciate that. Thank you for that as we continue to break down all things Kings after they beat the Blazers in not the prettiest game you've ever seen in your life, but a win is a win is a win. 121-118. And the number one dog, the man who started all this, saying that there are a bunch of dogs on his team, Malik Monk. Malik Monk, he fought through his struggles. 0-for-7 from three-point land. 15-for-19 from free throw. That's where he made his bread and butter. He needed that dough, and he made some bread. He made some moolah out of it and got the W. 23 points and clutch free throws. Let's hear from Malik Monk and his confidence.
Yeah, if I'm not hitting shots, I always find another way to try to impact the game. And I finally got 10 assists for the first time in my career. I just try to do stuff different if I'm not hitting shots. And I don't care about the misses. I got crazy confidence, so I knew I was going to keep going to the lane and getting fouled. And I knew it was going to drop at some point, so I didn't stop attacking.
Shoot or shoot.
That's what that is, yeah.
Shooter shoot.
Crazy confidence.
Shout out Malik Monk. Any friends? Anybody got any friends that have confidence like that? I'm trying to think. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty confident guy.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if I touch Malik Monk's. If I was 0-for-7 from three-ball land, I'm Rajon Rondo for the rest of the day.
I'm just
passing it
I'm
off.
So quiet. Yeah. There's no way. I mean, I've got a couple friends. I wouldn't say, like, to Malik Monk's level, though, because, like, that's just a crazy when and I respect it. Like, I respect guys like Malik and I think JaVale's got a little bit of it too, where it's like, you can't tell me nothing. Like, you could tell me I had a bad game. You could say, you know, Malik's a big fashion guy. I think the confidence kind of, you know, comes in together with that as well, where it's like, I'm gonna wear this outfit because I like it. And it's really as cut and dry as that, and I think I'm pulling it off. And you could tell me you think these are stupid baggy pants or whatever, but I'm going to tell you this is what fashion looks like.
Exactly. I like it. And if you can convince yourself, you convince other people, that's what it is.
Yeah. Is that's all confidence is, man. It gets you really far in life. And I think it's gotten Malik to where he is right now. Like, the guy really is a different level of confident. And we've seen that just kind of play out throughout his career as well. Like, again, we were talking earlier about how good he was in college. How many guys end up looking like a bust their first 2 years and then turn it around?
Right. Without, and correct me if I'm wrong, without the reason being injury.
Exactly.
You were playing.
Yep, exactly.
You were getting opportunities, mm-hmm. right? So
just shout out to Malik. Wasn't the right system, I guess.
And shout out if you are somebody like me who decided to put in a futures on Malik Monk Man of the Year.
Come on.
Because he's got to be leading the charge right now.
Yeah, because Cam Thomas has started a lot of games. I was going to say, like, Cam Thomas has been putting up buckets, but off the bench, if I had to guess, Malik's probably, I mean, last year I think he led in total points and maybe in assists as well. Mm. So, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to find anybody else who's
been. And it went to Brogdon.
Right. So, I think Malik is a prime candidate for it. He's just kind of got to stay on the bench in order to win.
Well, that's why I was going to shout out Mike Brown. I should be shouting out Mike Brown because as much as I say start Malik, it's also going against what I had hoped in terms of that future. So, yeah, Malik Monk and what he's been able to do. Where would this team be without Malik Monk?
Current odds, he's second right now.
Behind who?
Emmanuel Quickley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Quickley had a really good shooting year last year, too, and he kind of ended up taking a lot of votes.
So he's tied for second with a group of three, including Tim Hardaway Jr. and CP3.
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, CP hasn't played well enough.
No, and he's gonna start
a
good amount of games.
That's like an impact thing, not necessarily like a, that's like his overall impact. I'm sure if you look at his numbers, it's not really there, I'm sure.
Yeah. YouTube chat, Aaron Malik tweeted that he don't care about your parlays last night. That was hilarious. And you know what? That brings up a good conversation. So thank you, Aaron.
Good job.
Because we were going to get to this anyway. I don't understand, and I do not police fandom. I don't, and neither do you.
No.
I think that you can fan how you want to fan.
I've been accused of it, but no.
Sure. Well, yes. Well, if we're not going to talk, no more beam talk. Okay, no more beam talk. We're moving forward. Yeah. But this is the thing that I don't get. And again, if you want to do it, that's fine. But I don't understand it. I really don't understand tagging players, right? So when
like
Malik
adding players
on social media,
Instagram posts. Yeah. I don't like this Instagram stories either, where it's like, you know, yeah, same thing.
Right, and they all have so many. They all have so many. What privacies that I don't think you can't just DM Malik Monk.
No,
like that's not going to go through, right? Trust me, I've tried him.
Yeah,
but,
I'm trying to get him on the show.
Anytime, man. You know, I got to use the Sacktown Sports account. We'll be all right. So I don't really. I just want to know: do people just feel like because it is a new frontier where you get to experience being. Having a direct line to an athlete that was never had before.
For sure.
So I don't know if Malik Monk just happened to see stuff on social media or if he kept getting tagged saying, y'all didn't cover.
Right.
Because whatever the overs were for Malik, I know they all hit. So it must have been about the team because the spread was -7. It was 7.
I think it was 8.5 yesterday when we were doing the
show. Okay, it was 7, 8. They didn't hit it. So Malik goes on to say, I don't care about your parlays. So I'm just curious how that came up.
Yeah.
If people were just adding him. And if you do, and look, we don't police fandom. If you do at players, may I ask why?
Why?
Is it just because of that possible chance that they respond to you? Like, I don't know. I've seen Kevin Durant. Maybe Kevin Durant, you know, he doesn't have as the same type of privacies because Kevin Durant will quote tweet people and get a conversation started. Is that what it is just in case?
No, I don't know. I don't understand what, like, for the negatives. I understand, of course, like, if Frankie's going to tweet out Malik Monk is the Sacramento Kings' all-time leading scorer off the bench or something, of course, tag Malik in that because you would want him to maybe see it. And, you know, it's obviously promoting himself and all that stuff. But what is...
But Frankie works for the station.
That could have been anybody. I shouldn't have used Frankie as the example. But I more mean so in positive situations, of course, it makes sense. But I will never understand, like, are you trying to elicit a reaction? Is
you
that
cost
what you're
me money
for?
At Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You cost me money at Malik Monk.
Exactly.
What are
Why?
We doing?
Like, do you want, like, is it? I also wonder how much, you mentioned how this is the first time we've ever had direct access to these people. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a large population of people who still don't think that they see those things. They think, oh yeah, I added Malik Monk, but I did it as a joke, and like, he's not going to see it. He gets so many ads and replies. He probably has it blown.
I really think
a lot of people think, use it more so in a, not in a joking manner, but more in the sense of, look, I'm not afraid to at him in this,
right,
knowing he's not going to say it. Because how many times, Alan, I mean, we're not Malik Monk fame at all,
right,
but how many
right.
times, I mean, yeah, you go at people all the time,
right,
where it's, you know, they say something at you, you say something back, they say something back at you, you say something back, and then it's, I'm actually a huge fan, like, I actually love
it. It happened to me last week.
And then so it's like.
And today.
Yeah, and so, you know, again, how much of this is just people trying to get a reaction or just not thinking that reaction's ever going to happen. They just think they're sending it off and looking cool because it's like, oh yeah, I just added this radio Alan Stiles because,
right.
you know, he's a chump and I want him to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I that's my only logical sense to it because I don't understand it at all.
I don't either.
I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, because the thing is also, you know, if you see these people in person, the energy is not going to be anywhere near the same. And
it's
that's
never
my
been.
Biggest
it's,
problem.
It's
is
never
like,
been the
who
same.
Who raised y'all?
No.
Who raised y'all?
No. 916-339-1140. We got about 30, 40 seconds here for Casey, who wants to talk. Mike Brown, what's up, Casey? You're on Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What you got for us?
So, I think Mike Brown hasn't done the greatest job coaching so far this year, and I love Mike Brown, but I mean, going into last night, Malik Monk was averaging only 22 minutes a game. I mean, he's clearly one of the best players on the team while Fox is out, and he's only averaging 22 minutes a game. And you got Harrison Barnes, who's basically putting up 10 points a game other than the first game. He's averaging 10 a game, and he's playing 33 minutes a game. You got Davion averaging, going into last night's game, averaging more minutes per game than Monk. And almost, Duarte was almost equal to Monk. It's like, That's not okay. Like, Monk's one of our best players off the bench, and he's just messing with the lineup too much. He's bringing guys in and putting them out. Like, Vezenkov all of a sudden gets a DNP. Like, how are you expecting these guys to get in a rhythm when you're just yanking guys out after a couple bad games and then trying something new? Like, we already know most of the guys at the end of the bench aren't going to be full-time role players. So why are you throwing guys in there and trying them instead of going with the guys that you know are going to be your top nine at the end of the year?
No, I think that's a great call, Casey. We got to get to a break, but I think the question is, Mike Brown doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
He's trying to figure that out. Definitely. So it's just one of those fluid things and not having De'Aaron.
Yeah.
Again, we're figuring out in real time how important De'Aaron is, but that's a great call, Casey.
No,
we will
sure.
answer that when we get back from the break. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 215, a special edition for our 11 show.
Oh,
special edition, taking up to 215, and then you will have UC Davis basketball.
Ooh.
Go Aggies?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Season
I
opener.
Know. You know, one of these days, because, you know, when we do the crossover, the crosstalk,
yeah.
with Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Russ, they have game shows. One of these games, when you talk about from my past life, one of my old jobs, had to work a lot in college sports. So I feel very confident about my knowledge of mascots. And
Ooh.
I've never been able to use said knowledge.
Okay.
And I want to create an environment where I can use said knowledge.
When March sure. Madness comes around, they play that game.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
They do on the morning show.
They did last year
because
I got known for knowing that Northern Kentucky was the Norse.
The Norse. Yes,
so,
that is correct.
Yes, they will play that game at March Madness.
I cannot wait for that. I really can't wait for that. And I can't wait to see what the Kings do tomorrow night against the Thunder. So when you saw the end season, just because it's, sometimes the colors look a little different.
Wonky.
As far as the in-season court is concerned, the Kings did not have anything crazy from what I saw. It was just a different logo.
So they have a different logo at center court, but it isn't as crazy as what, like, the I believe Oklahoma City has, like, blue down the
and
sides.
The Bulls,
and
the Bulls had a red
middle.
Court.
Yeah, the Kings aren't doing that. They still
I
have
loved
like
the purple court.
It would have been interesting for sure, but they're going with a different color scheme as well. They're they're doing the throwback color scheme, so it's going to be red, white, and blue. The logo at center court is going to be the alternate Lion logo, which is going to have red, white, and or I believe it's going to be gray and red or gray and blue or something like that. And then the outside of the court is going to be its normal like. I don't know, pine wood or something. I don't know what it is.
Right,
I don't know
right,
woods.
Right.
And then down the middle, it's going to be a blue streak. So we've seen all of the courts have that blue streak going right down the middle. If right down the middle of the court, the Kings is going to be blue, not purple.
Okay, and big game for the Kings here for the Drive guys because Whitey Gleason has the Kings pick to win.
He does.
The in-season tournament.
In-season tournament.
Beating the Hawks, which...
The Atlanta Hawks.
Yep. I think both picks might
be
struggling.
Hasn't aged well. But hey, it was, you know, we were in the middle of summer and it felt right. You know,
yeah.
it felt like... I don't know where he got the Atlanta Hawks from. I thought it was a bold enough prediction just to say the Kings were going to win. But, you know, Whitey Gleason, he likes to take it a step further.
You know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's propaganda, okay? Because there's been a lot of Trae Young propaganda. There was a lot of Trae Young propaganda this summer.
Yeah.
And I think Whitey got pulled into it. People saying that Luka, the way that they talk about Luka and Trae Young is a little bit disrespectful. Trae Young very much feeling like he has been disrespected, and this is supposed to be a breakout season for Trae Young. When I win my, I think he said something, when I win my championship or something like that. Okay, we'll get
people
in line.
People are going to talk about this Luka thing differently.
We'll get in line with everybody else that's going
to cross that bridge when
and
we
I
get
like,
there.
And I like Trae Young. I hope he does, you know, kind of figure things out there in Atlanta. They had the John Collins situation. I don't really know what John Collins has going on, right, as far as who the players, they moved on from him, right? It's interesting out there in Atlanta. Maybe just sign Quavo. Would you sign Quavo?
Yeah, he seems decent.
He can hoop.
Yeah, he can hoop.
He can hoop. I think he's lefty, too. Why do I know that?
Oh,
I don't know.
He's good in those celebrity tournaments.
He is.
Yeah, I think he might have won in a celebrity MVP.
So is the Biebs.
Yeah.
So is Bieber.
So is Kevin Hart.
So is Kevin Hart.
Yeah, you know.
And, you know, him alongside Clint Capella would be a nice pick-and-roll tandem.
Clint Capella. That guy.
Yeah.
What are we doing with Clint Capella at this point?
I think they're just waiting out his contract. They really like Onyeka Okongwu, who's pretty much just like a younger Clint Capella in a lot of ways. So, it feels like and Clint Capella has been a name that's thrown around Sacramento throughout the years.
Bring him.
I feel like he's a little bit past the hump. He feels like, I mean, he was, even when he was good, he was DeAndre Jordan. And I think we've seen how DeAndre Jordan's career has kind of tailed off.
JaVale.
A little, yeah. I would say it's similar to that, and I think the problem with Clint Capella right now is just how much he gets paid.
I have a thought on this because as we move towards, it's a wing centric league, and you have the Wembanyamas and the Chet Holmgrens of the world, the traditional bigs, right? It feels like their time is not running short, but it's hard to find, okay, well, this guy, the last traditional big to go number one is DeAndre Ayton, and people really can't stand DeAndre Ayton in terms of thinking, was he worth the number one pick?
Definitely
right?
not.
Yeah. Not sure.
He's not a traditional big in like the Dwight Howard sense. Like he's out there on the perimeter.
But he's close as you're going to get in today's day and age, though.
He's close. Along with, I would say James Wiseman is more hybrid than DeAndre Ayton. That's
definitely.
Just what we have. That's just what we have these days. So my question is, is it a reach to say that you will always need, there will always be a need for a traditional big, the same way there will always be a need for a pure pocket quarterback? Not to say that that's going to be the main guy, but you're never, the idea that you will fully move away.
Yeah, those things
in
will
20
be extinct.
Years will be extinct.
Yeah.
There, will you ever move away from a pure pocket QB?
I don't think so because it's, like the NBA especially is a league that likes to kind of shift and like it likes to do whatever the counter is. Like when the league goes big, okay, well then we're going to go guard friendly and then, you know, the bigs kind of have a resurgence and wings have their time and place. And I kind of think wings are forever, but I definitely think so because what could happen is, you know, if the league And it did for a small period of time there. The league shifts to, okay, small ball. Everybody look for a Draymond right. Green at center.
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden, when you have a guy like Steven Adams is playing with a bunch of schoolyard kids at that point. He right. looks like Wilt Chamberlain out there playing with a bunch of plumbers. And I think that's kind of what ends up happening is that shift happens when the league gets small, when it gets a little bit less beefy and strong. That's how those guys are able to eat. And so, yeah, I don't ever think that you'll fully eliminate them. Now, will those be guys that you can rely on exactly. to win at yeah. the highest level? I kind of don't think so. We can have a larger discussion about the situation the Kings are in right now because you could argue that's kind of where the Kings are at. I think Sabonis is a lot more of a traditional center than he is a – you know, Nikola Jokic, like, right. though we like to compare the two, the difference is Jokic is a lot more modern mm-hmm. than Sabonis is. And so I think, and I frankly think that's the biggest difference between the two because, you know, so we see Sabonis playmake, at least statistically, to an even level of Jokic. But the big difference is Nikola Jokic can hit threes and can pull perimeter jumpers, and we're praying that Sabonis can hit a mid-range elbow jumper.
Well, and that turns into, instead of quarterbacks, that turns into running backs mm-hmm. to where, hey, I could find, if the league, if I don't think there's a full-blown need for a traditional big,
right.
a la some of the names that you just said, then I can find somebody. There's always going to be an Alex Len somewhere.
Exactly.
No disrespect
yes.
to Alex
no, totally.
Len.
But those guys are
seven-footers. Yes. They don't grow on trees, but in the NBA, they do.
Well, yeah, I think there used to be this crazy stat of, like, if you were 7 feet tall, you had a 50% chance of playing D1 college.
Right.
Just by being born and
yes.
being a seven-footer.
Yes.
You
that is
50%
insane,
chance
by
of
the
making
way.
College basketball.
Well, like, the same with closers in baseball, right? Yeah. Back in the day, Papelbon, Brian Wilson, anything over 95, they gave you the little fire emoji when you would pitch. They don't even do that anymore because it's a surprise when somebody that pitches after the seventh inning doesn't throw 98.
100.
Aroldis Chapman, they're about 8 Aroldis Chapmans running around the league right now. Probably more than 8, more like 18 running around the league right now.
The St. Louis Cardinals have had like 3 in a row, and I can't
name
any of them.
Every week the St. Louis Cardinals has somebody else throwing gas like that. So I do think that the Kings are in an interesting position because Sabonis is right on that cusp.
That traditional cusp.
Of whoever it is. And that also is why the Thunder are thought so highly of because – they look like the Monstars. You got a 6'6 point guard.
Yep.
You got another 6'6 guard. You got a 6'8 guard.
Yep.
Then you got a 7 foot. What is Chet? A small forward?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Like, he plays like a small forward, but he's 7'2 or 7'1 or something like that. Yeah, I mean, they're a team of freaks, really. And I think it's going to be I really want to see De'Aaron play because I want to see these two teams.
Because you want to see a W.
I just want to see, yes, I would like to see the Kings have a chance of winning that game, but I just think it would be really competitive. And yeah, stylistically, you're really painting it perfectly. Stylistically, these two teams almost counterbalance each other in such interesting ways. I think it would be a great matchup. And I mean, yeah, it's two really young teams that are kind of fighting for the same territory a little bit. They're both trying to be those young upstart teams that, you know, now that the Grizzlies have kind of fallen out of favor, they could be the, oh my gosh, look out for these guys the next 4 or 5 years.
Right. That's really what it comes down to. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will get the odds for you in that Thunder Kings game. Don't know what's going to happen with De'Aaron Fox yet, but let's see what Vegas thinks. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Headlines.
Good afternoon, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sactown Sports headlines. The Sacramento Kings won in overtime 121-118 against the Portland Trail Blazers. Frankie Cardicelli has a must-read recap of the game up right now at SactownSports.com and on the front page of your Sactown Sports app. The Kings now have 3 wins and 4 losses. Their next game is tomorrow against the Oklahoma City Thunder in their first ever in-season tournament game. Speaking of 3 wins on the season, the Carolina Panthers and Chicago Bears play on Thursday Night Football. Panthers have 1 win, Bears have 2 on the season. Coverage of that game begins right here on Sactown Sports, beginning at either 4:30 or following UC Davis basketball. Your Sacramento State Hornets are at home this Saturday at 2 p.m. against the Cal Poly Mustangs. You can get your tickets at hornetsports.com. Those are your headlines. Let's return for the last 45 minutes of Styles and Watkins.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
We are back, Sactown Sports, Styles and Watkins, taking you up to 2:15 today. Yes, you get an extra 15 minutes as we break down all things Kings. And Kyle, I'm glad you came in with this song, because we had a conversation a couple weeks ago about all the covers, right? And I saw something on Twitter. And what it was a quinceañera or something, and it was a DJ who posted it. And what's the sweetie one? I know she's done a bunch. The one that was a part, when Happy. She sampled, right, Blow the Whistle. Yeah. The Blow the Whistle. Yeah. So this DJ, it made me want to cry. So this DJ, Styles and Watkins, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 2:15 today, 11th official show, made me want to cry because... The DJ said this girl comes up to him and says, and he's playing Blow the Whistle. And she goes, hey, can you play the original? And he's saying, what do you mean?
What you mean?
And she goes, the one by Saweetie.
Shout out Saweetie, who's Sacramento's own.
I thought she was Oakland.
She claims Sacramento.
She claims a lot of places. Yeah. But we'll both take her.
Yeah.
Gladly. But yeah, that was pretty sad. Yeah. It reminded me
getting these moments where you're finding out that you're old. Huh?
Well, yeah. So my nephew is 10 years younger than me. Yeah. And basically, so he's 20, right? 20, 22, whatever it is. This was a couple years ago. And I'm playing the Maria Maria by Santana.
Sure. Yeah.
And he goes, oh, man, did this come from the DJ Khaled one?
Yeah.
And I was just so sad, man. Yeah. Which is, for those listening, Wild Thoughts. Yeah. Wild Thoughts is the song that I'm referring to, and it was so sad.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's a really sad time. Like that's literally what getting old is, though. Is when the songs that you grew up with are now like, I didn't even know this song existed. That's literally step one.
See, I understand it from the young people's perspective because it's happened to me before where I know a song and then I hear it and I'm like, oh hey, that's the I hear an older version of the song. I'm like, oh, that's like whoever remade it.
Oh, right. For sure. That's fine. Like, yeah. I think it's fine. But the problem is like the lack of knowledge.
But
it's
how just would like, they know?
I'm not a music person because we're in 2024 and there's never been easier. Whatever. Okay. I'm in the future, bro.
No, I don't want to get older.
I'm living in the future.
No.
And there's as much information at your fingertips as there's ever been in your life. Like I remember back in my day when Gym Class Heroes came out with what was it? Take a Look at My Girlfriend.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I thought it was an original song at the time.
No, that's a good point.
And then my parents instantly, and I think the radio actually, shout out people who actually listen to music on the radio, would make it known that hey, that's a rendition of one of our old time favorites.
That's true.
Ignorance is not an excuse, man.
No,
never.
But I think what's interesting is that song. The problem is sampling songs that aren't that old.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, we're talking about sampling songs from the 70s and 80s.
So
Saweetie sampled a song from the early 2000s.
Yeah, but those are becoming throwbacks. Like, Blast with an X. I call it Blixt. But
yeah, I love Blast. I went to his concert last year.
Oh, you did? Awesome. Oh, yeah. He did a remake of 21 Questions by 50 Cent.
Right.
But, that song came out when I was born. So, I know the song, but I would have, no reason to know that song otherwise. It's not, relevant in pop culture anymore.
That's true. All I know is I saw that on social media yesterday. It made me sad, and it gave me flashbacks to my little cousin saying, oh, that's not a DJ. He's like, DJ Khaled flipped it. I'm like,
nah.
Come on, man.
Nah. I'm in the future. Come on.
2024.
Come on. Light years ahead.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. We wanted to answer Casey's call and what he had to say. Because yes. Casey had a lot to say.
Yeah, he came in hot.
About Coach Mike Brown. Casey, call of the day so far. Love to drop the mic like that right before a break. Good for you, Casey.
Isn't Casey our only caller of today?
That's up to you.
Yeah.
I remember a couple. I remember a couple. Okay. I don't know if you
No, and it doesn't change the fact that he's caller of the day.
No, I know that you were out late.
Yeah.
Well, that's like when people, that's like, you know, when my sister, one of my sisters say, you're my favorite brother.
Yeah, right. Of course. I'm in the future.
Yeah, you're in the future. Maybe you know that we won't have any more.
That's my bad. Yeah, that's on me. Sorry, I shouldn't have spoiled the rest
of
the
chill.
Show for you guys.
Just chill out.
I'm in the future. 2:15, y'all.
2:15. You got us. And Casey wanted to talk about the different changes that Mike Brown's been making. Interesting enough, after a W. But yeah. We did see some very unique lineups, yeah. Right? You get the W, and Casey had to say, hey, somebody like Sasha Vazankov hasn't been in and out. Casey wanted more time for the Malik Monk. And you had some good points on the Malik Monk stuff. Why don't you kind of break that down?
I mean, first and foremost, I just want to say that I think I would have received that call probably a lot better before yesterday. I just think that after the job, what Mike Brown did yesterday, like he clearly was just looking like I respect him. We talked about it earlier, but I just really think it took a lot of guts for him to go and throw Keon Ellis into the starting lineup and take Colby Jones out of rotation, put Alex Len in there, give Kessler Edwards minutes because, you know, those guys are, you know, they're not names. That's not Chris Duarte. That's not your high second round draft pick that you brought in Colby Jones. It's not JaVale McGee who, you know, you signed Nerlens Noel and Scal Labissiere and Nemeas Cada in the offseason because you were looking for a backup center. And then JaVale McGee comes in and you're like, oh, that's actually what we wanted. So those guys can go. So clearly there's a plan for him. For Mike Brown to just kind of scrap all that and acknowledge the plan that I had for this season clearly isn't working well, and to put all that stuff aside, I think Mike Brown deserves credit for that. And you know, you were talking about it being a team win. I think Mike Brown is definitely included in that team victory. I think everybody played a nice little hand in the Kings getting the result yesterday.
But specifically with Malik Monk, foul trouble a couple nights ago,
yeah, for sure,
right? The blowout. So because basically Casey was saying Malik Monk's minutes weren't that high.
He was saying he needs to play 30-plus minutes.
Right. But he was in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. They had a blowout. So these are some of the things that are – we're still only on game seven?
Game seven now?
Yeah. So
that was game seven.
Everything is still fluctuating a lot. I think it'll even out. Mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes, yes, we played the Harrison Barnes game. I don't know. That's the one, Casey, I can't really disagree with you on.
Yeah.
But the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And Sasha Vazankov – for as much as we think could be a good story, Harrison Barnes is a champion. Harrison Barnes has been in this league. And you are – that's the issue. He's teased us because he's come in and had 33, right? 27 in one half, which he didn't have last night, which I really could have used for personal reasons, right? So he's done these things before, so that's why it's hard to pull the plug on something when you know what he's capable of.
Yep.
So that's a tough one. I get the Sasha Vazankov thing. It's still early. But last night in particular, without De'Aaron Fox, and that's the other thing, how much of this is – how much can we really put into what Mike Brown is doing right now without De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, it's really tough. And to go back to the teacher thing, I think, Harrison Barnes, he kind of messed up and showed the teacher his potential. It's you showed that you can get an A on a test.
Right.
So now when you get B minuses, C pluses, I'm going to keep pushing you because I know what you're capable of. And I think I'm definitely interested on just how Harrison's going to develop throughout this season. And like we talked about earlier, if that conversation of, hey, we need you to step up too, is ever going to happen. But I think, you know, Malik's minutes are something that I think is just always going to be a thing that people talk about because of how impactful he is on the bench. But I think with how bad the Kings are playing right now, yes, it seems obvious to play Malik Monk way more minutes. But I think ideally the plan, again, to go back to the plan Mike Brown had going into this year, I think he was banking on a lot of people contributing and not needing Malik Monk to have 30 minutes. I thought he was probably thinking, well, if we can have 23 to 25 fresh minutes of Malik Monk and then throw Chris Duarte for 12 to 15 minutes of him being fresh out there. Again, it's a lot better to have that combination of things than just running Malik Monk into the ground. So a lot of it has to do with the fact, you know, that guys just aren't playing well and aren't playing to the level that we thought they were going to play, Sasha Vezenkov included. And I think it's just thrown a wrench into, and also, y'all, De'Aaron Fox got hurt in like five games.
Yeah.
Or in four, whatever it was, three games.
Two and a half.
Right.
This is not how this season was supposed to go. So they're adjusting on the fly as well. Everybody was probably expecting to, you know, to give Davion Mitchell a little bit of a leash. Like, he was probably expecting to have some time to kind of get into the flow of the season
and
before
Keegan as well. Too.
I mean, yeah, I think these guys just weren't expecting to be thrown into the deep end this early into the season. And a lot of the time, you know, you have at least like a month to get into rhythm. And then it's like, okay, if De'Aaron's out, I've gotten enough minutes, enough game time to really feel comfortable, you know, with an extended run. I'm almost looking forward to it at that point. This early in the season, I think they're just kind of flying by the seat of their pants and hoping that they can, you know, be above 500 come the time that they, you know, are settled down a little.
Yeah, and again, as bad as it looked, the Rockets go on to smack up the Lakers last night. Mm. So does that make you feel a little bit better about what happened in Houston? We'll see. I think tomorrow is a huge game, whether De'Aaron plays or not. I think you have to be competitive if he doesn't play. Look, if Shea puts on a masterclass and Chet Holmgren, who could possibly – Chet Holmgren is going to – who was it the same year as LeBron that was really close? Was it Carmelo to win Rookie of the Year?
Yes, Carmelo was very close.
We're looking at the same type of –
Him and Wemby.
So I just for the league's sake, Wemby's going to win it. Can we just say that?
Can we just say that?
I mean, there's a ticker for every time Wemby won. It was literally a countdown to Wemby at Madison Garden. Then he put up a stinker.
Yeah.
So that's just what it is. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. But Chet Holmgren is going to play even more aggressively because he knows that. So that's what the Kings have to look forward to. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Kings talk, a little bit of Niners talk, and a little bit of Giants talk as well. Ohtani? Do the Giants maybe have a foot in the door to get Shohei Ohtani? Showtime in the Bay? Sal and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
Sal and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2:15 special edition for this 11th episode. Breaking down all things Kings, a little bit of Niners, and a little bit of Giants. Thank you. If you are just now joining the show, thank you for joining. If you've been joining, thank you for rocking with us. And thank you to Kyle. Last segment we talked about, we're talking about it again, the difference in music, and Kyle is now playing the original Blow the Whistle, as I saw something on social media with a kid who didn't realize that the Sweetie version was not the original version. I then went on to cry. So there's that. Sal and Watkins, we got you. Sacktown Sports. And I want to take a second here because, Chris, you know I love baseball. I haven't got to talk about baseball in a while.
I appreciate that.
Really, to just kind of – I caught it. It took me a while, but I caught it. But really, to just kind of rewind here, Bruce Bochy wins the World Series. Good for Bruce Bochy. He went on to say that multiple Giants – went on and texted him saying congrats and called him Buster Posey. And he said the biggest one he was surprised at was good old Timmy Lincecum. Tim Lincecum sent him a text. He said it's hard to get a
off the grid, right?
It's like, hard to hear from Tim Lincecum, but Tim
reached
out.
Where do we think Tim's at right now?
Man.
Somewhere near Humboldt, or is he just like,
if
he's
in the
U.S.
Yeah,
is he even more discreet than that?
Yeah, so.
That's incredible.
So shout out to Bruce Bochy getting that championship, Marcus Semien, all the former Giants and A's doing their thing, and Marcus Semien, a Bay Area guy as well. As Giants fans try to figure out what's next, and John Shea wrote a really good article about in the SF Chronicle about Shohei Ohtani preparing the full court press. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that the Giants might have a shot at this. A lot of people don't think the Giants have a shot at this because, as sad as it sounds, Shohei wants to be in the playoffs.
Always
Shohei,
a bridesmaid, too. Giants tend to be.
Right, Bryce Harper, Shohei the first go-round. Yes, Arson Judge. Shout out Arson. I have my jersey. It's in the cart right now. And with Carlos Correa, who actually ended up having a pretty good season. The Twins make the playoffs. Yep. So it's been a rough go for the Giants, and a lot of people are starting to come down hard on Farhan Zaidi and what's been going on with the Giants. They think that, hey, you got to make a move, Farhan.
Yeah,
we don't care what it is. And with what happened with Shohei Ohtani? He was set to make a record-breaking amount of money, which in baseball is very, very hard to do because baseball has monopoly money, just monopoly money everywhere. If your kid don't play baseball right now, put a ball in their hand.
Yeah.
Put a ball in their hand. It doesn't matter because Shohei Ohtani was about to break some records, and unfortunately, he injures his elbow. He's got to get Tommy John. This is the second time, which I did not realize when it first came out, that he's getting the surgery, and it's scaring some teams off.
For sure.
And we're saying, hey, Shohei, we're going to pay for you, and it's a whole season where you could only DH. We don't even know if you're going to be able to pitch again. Mm-hmm. So now it's a matter of Farhan being a guy who normally likes to underpay. Farhan, right. Now you may have to overpay.
Significantly,
and say, Shohei, we're willing to take a chance on you. Because there are certain teams that say, hey, because of what happened, Shohei, you want to think about maybe being a closer or something like that. And Shohei, we believe, very competitive, is going to want to do both. Would you be okay with the Giants taking that chance and still going after Shohei after his second Tommy John and still expecting big money and 10 years, whatever it is?
Yeah.
Would you be okay taking that risk?
Yes, because I think the Giants are desperate enough. And yeah. I think I don't say that as like a criticism. I think that they're just at the point where they need to look in the mirror and say, I think we have to do this just if we continue to want to try and carry ourselves like how we want to carry ourselves, then we have to at some point actually go act like those big boys that we claim to be.
And you got the money.
You
got the money.
That's the problem. Like,
it ain't tricking if you got it.
No.
So spend it.
And they're not sweating it either. Like, no. They can act like they're sweating it, but they have plenty of money from that ballpark and just from the success of that organization throughout the years. They have plenty of money to spend, and they haven't been spending it recently. So there's no excuse for not going out there. Now, does it make the most business sense or baseball? It definitely makes the most business sense.
Right.
Baseball sense, does it make a whole lot of sense to go out there and pay a guy for what you're hoping he can be and what a lot of people don't seem to think he can get back to? Probably not. But again, I think the Giants are in a desperate enough situation to where if they don't go and get Shohei, what's the next move then? What's the pivot point? Because you guys, you know, the Giants are going to keep talking again like they're one of those NL West contenders, but I'm looking at the NL West and I see a Dodger team that continues to spend money no matter what, and that's the most likely Shohei destination, especially. Mm-hmm. I think kind of like the KD thing to the Warriors, I think in a weird way the Dodgers not succeeding opens the door even more for Shohei to go over to LA. And then you have the team who just, was in the World Series in the Arizona Diamondbacks who are not going anywhere anytime soon. So I think if the Giants want to seriously contend over the next couple of years or be even in the conversation, they almost have to overspend for Shohei. And that's not even saying they're going to get him, but at least just throwing him
the money. You have to, or Giants fans will riot. Their attendance dropped off a cliff. Sorry, Giants. Nobody wants to pay. As good as a lobster roll is, nobody wants
to pay. What about the view, though?
Yeah, nobody wants to pay for the lobster roll or your Ghirardelli ice cream when I don't know who's playing.
Yeah,
I don't know who's playing today. You know, I'm going to take my daughter for, Daddy, who's playing? I don't know, honey.
I don't know.
But that's here's a helmet bowl of nachos. Michael Conforto, who I believe is coming back.
Yep.
I believe they exercised Michael Conforto. He will be returning. So here are some of the free agents. You have Shohei at number one, some of the top
of course
free agents. Shohei at number one. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, that is the right-handed pitcher coming from Japan, and he is another guy who I would be willing to take a chance on. I'd be willing to take a chance on anybody.
Have to.
Blake Snell, we all remember that famous World Series where Blake Snell got pulled when he was doing his thing, doing his fizzle. You know, shout out to the Bay if you're going to come on over here, Blake Snell. He is 31 years old. I would definitely take Blake Snell. Here's another one. And I love Mike Yastrzemski. I think that year, that 2020 year, he finished, what was it, fourth in MVP voting?
Ridiculous.
It's over.
Yeah, he's not that guy.
Give me, and this is a name, we did it with Jock Peterson and it worked. Let's take another ex-Dodger.
Cody.
Give me Cody.
You want Belly at about 150?
I was going to say, aren't you going to have to pay for him, though? From what I've seen, I mean, it's the Yankees and the Cubs are the two teams that are most in on him. Those are two teams that have got some pretty deep
pockets.
It's going
to be about 8 years, 160 probably.
The question for me is health, because the way he swings.
Yeah.
right? He's going to throw out a shoulder every time he swings. But with the fact that they changed, right, you can't – the shift rule's a little bit different. Lefties have a higher batting average. Everybody's got a higher batting average. I like Cody Bellinger, his ability to still play center field, even though he will be first base, you know, later in his career. I would take him. Aaron Nola, you can't pay for everybody, but would I be off him? No. Josh Hader, I'm out on. Yes. I think Josh Hader has kind of gotten figured out.
Bye, Hader.
Sonny Gray, shout out the A's. Sorry, I'm not going with Sonny either. Right. That's probably who somebody who far I can give him for a discount.
Come somebody on does down. Guys
up against the break. So a lot of people weren't in on Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman was a guy with the A's. He balled out. He moves on. Hasn't really been who he was with the A's. But to me, that has Farhan written all over him, right? Down year, I'm in on
Matt
Chapman.
A Bob Melvin guy, too.
Right. He goes to the Blue Jays, gets the bag. Didn't really – that's a good point. Bob Melvin guy gets the bag, didn't really work out. But I would be in on Matt Chapman at third base. I like the young guys, but there's just too much going on here. So these are some of the guys that I would say – I would only go in on Shohei if you're doing more. Just Shohei – doesn't move me. It can't be Shohei.
Shohei and Brandon Crawford doesn't get you excited?
Well, Brandon is probably not going to be a Giant anymore. And honestly, if this that's the one person I could say to my daughter, no, I know that guy.
I know who that guy is.
That guy, that's Brandon Crawford. That's a Bay boy. That's our guy. But that's really all I got.
Ohtani in the cleanup spot and Mitch Haniger after him.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We got to get to a break. When we get back, we got a fun one for you.
America's favorite segment.
In our 15-minute segment, a really fun one for you. You're going to want to be a part of this because we're going to let you participate as well. The question is, who's talking? Is it Chris Murray or is it Keegan? Kyle will lead that for us when we get back. Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins.
Friday night at the Golden 1 Center, it's the Kings' first ever in-season tournament game.
Sabonis heels at the arc. Now to Keegan Murray on a run by. He shoots for three. He's got the triple. Keegan Murray from downtown.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are in town to face the Sacramento Kings for Friday night hoops.
The quest for the cup begins Friday on your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Good afternoon, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. Sacramento Kings won in overtime, 121-118, last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. Frankie Cardicelli has a must-read recap of the game up right now at sacktownsports.com and your Sacktown Sports app. The Sacramento Kings have 3 wins and 4 losses, and they will be playing their next game tomorrow against Oklahoma City at home in the play-in tournament. Speaking of 3 wins and 4 losses, the Carolina Panthers and Chicago Bears bring their combined 3 wins on the season into Thursday Night Football. Our coverage begins here on Sacktown Sports at 4:30 or at the conclusion of UC Davis's home opening basketball game. Which, by the way, stay tuned. That game gets going in about 15 minutes right here on Sacktown Sports. Those are your headlines. Reminder, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Now, it's time for the final bonus 15 minutes of Styles and Watkins.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, been a loaded show for you today, like a baked potato.
Ooh.
That's what we like to say. I could go for one of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Might be going paleo, though. Yeah. I need to take a break from the carbs.
Have you ever done a potato bar, like a baked potato? Like,
yes.
I guess it would be called a bar, like a salad bar kind of thing, but with a baked potato.
Mm-hmm.
I've never. I've only heard legends, but it sounds so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I would love to just have a baked potato and just tons
anything you
of,
want.
Just everything. Give me the sour cream, the chives, the bacon bits, all that stuff.
Are baked potatoes underrated?
Yeah, probably. Actually, I would say definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Depends on what part of the country you're from, I feel
that's
like.
That's also probably really
right. Well, I was going to say,
probably
when
heavily
I go back,
utilized in Idaho.
Right. When I go back east, but it's like central PA, I'll have a baked potato, but I rarely have a baked potato out here.
Yeah, almost. I mean, almost never. It's just not really something. Like, I feel like you only have it with, like, you know, when you're grilling or something like that, you'll throw it on the grill. But I just, maybe, also, maybe it's just me personally. I just never think, oh, yeah, let me have a baked potato.
You should have one tonight.
I probably should. My problem is, though, doesn't it take, how like, a really, really long?
No,
to put in
the, no. You can microwave them.
Oh, okay.
You go home, take your nap.
Okay.
Because I know you've been
I'm not a
around.
Napper. No, I'm not.
So
I'm
it's too late now.
Yeah.
You just go to bed early tonight.
No, I just stay up late.
You just fight.
Don't throw off your sleep.
Every
schedule.
Day, I just ruin everything.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2:15 as we finally play what everybody's been waiting for. Kyle has this all loaded up for us.
Here we
it's
go.
Called, the segment is called Chris or Keegan. Okay? We want your calls, text 916-339-1140. Guess. We want you to guess with us as we will listen to Kyle play a sound. And Kyle is the ringleader here, so Chris and I will be who guesses. And Kyle will let us know who's right or wrong.
Well, see, I had to work hard for this one because Chris Watkins is impeccable at this game. Just nails it every time.
Never will be.
We will see about that.
Oh, so no, I had to try and be a little sneaky.
He warped the sound a little.
Which, by the way, is this Christopher Laud's game idea? Should I give him credit
for
this?
No, this is all me.
This is all you?
That's all Chris. Yep.
No, this is all Chris Watkins. This is one of the best ideas we've had
at the station.
There you go. All right. Here we go. Round one. So are you going to do both?
So I'm going to play the first one for you here. This is one of the brothers talking about the scouting report against the other.
So each one is just going to be, we're just going to guess per one.
Yeah, so we've got five rounds. This is round one.
Okay.
Is it Chris or Keith?
He plays hard, good shooter and stuff like that. So I know his scouting report better than anyone. So
that's Chris.
No, that's Keegan. That's 1,000% Keegan Murray.
I'll play it one more time.
Yeah, go ahead and play it again.
He plays hard, good shooter and stuff like that. So I know his scouting report better than anyone. So
Nah, that's Keegan. That's definitely Keegan.
I feel
confident.
I'm not going to just ride Mr. I know
the
tones
here.
The
best there ever was.
I'm going to go Chris.
I'm the third Murray.
See that jump shot. Ryan in Sacktown says that's Keegan.
All right. The correct answer is Keegan Murray.
Yeah, come on. Come on now. Come on. And no one? No. All right.
1-0.
Just me.
Wow.
I feel like Alan's got to go first because he's just clearly going to hop on my answer, you know.
I didn't last time. I went first last time.
All right. Here's the second sound we have. This one is one of the brothers talking about playing against the other brother.
I mean, it was cool. We were playing in the backyard. Doesn't seem like too long ago. So being able to play in the NBA against each other now it's a really good feeling. And we'll have more battles.
That's Chris.
That's Chris Murray.
Are you
Chris.
Sure?
I'm positive. I am 100% positive.
You're going to stick with your guns?
Yeah.
All right. That is Chris Murray.
There you go.
Come on now. I'm telling you. I can tell the difference.
2-1.
I can see John Cena. Okay.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I can't.
All right. Number three.
Yeah, for me, it's just honestly just a learning experience. I learn every single day and just try to get better. So for me, it's just trying to get better every single day and get ready.
All right, that one's a little bit tougher.
You go first this time.
Can I hear that one more time? Sorry.
Yeah, for me, it's just honestly just a learning experience. I learn every single day and just try to get better. So for me, it's just trying to get better every single day and get ready.
That's Chris. I think we found it.
So what is the
tell?
What is the explanation?
I'm telling you, Keegan has a deeper voice.
That's what
Chris just has a little bit of a higher tone.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And once you hear it, you can't unhear it. I'm telling you.
Ryan in Sacktown says that's Keegan.
Oh, so he thinks the third one is Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys are both going Chris.
Yeah.
I'm going Chris.
Ryan's going Keegan in the chat. I don't know if anyone else is playing in the chat, but the third sound was Chris Murray.
Ah, yeah. We got that right.
Okay.
We got that right.
There you go.
Yeah.
So now it is 3-2.
3-2. I'm not missing. So.
Yeah, this is more just can we stump Watkins on any of these?
No, I still got a shot.
Just like stump the Schwab.
All right, here is sound number four.
Yeah, it's probably pretty emotional for them. They came all the way from Iowa to come support us, and I mean, that was a really cool thing. And yeah, I think my dad was wearing like a King sweatshirt and a Portland shirt, so they made it work.
That one does sound a lot more in the middle.
And they're talking about their parents being there for the game.
I want to say Keegan, but it did... Some moments there really sounded like Chris.
Keegan Murray.
I think I'm going to go Keegan.
You're going to go Keegan?
I'm going Keegan.
And Chris Xavier, is going Keegan.
Xavier Gomez says that's Keegan.
They're going Keegan?
Yep.
Guys, I stumped you.
No!
Really, that is Chris Murray.
I should have taken the chance.
Probably pretty emotional for them. They came all the way from Iowa to come support us. And that was a really cool thing. And yeah, I think my dad was wearing like a King sweatshirt and a Portland shirt. So they made it work.
Right there, he's at the end, he sounds like Chris. At the beginning, he sounds like Keegan. It's just like that little gravel that like...
It's the gravel that gets it. Here, I'll play just that part for you.
Yeah, just like the first like 5 seconds.
Oh, first 5 seconds. Yes. I thought you were saying the end.
Well, here. The end sounds more like Chris, but okay, the beginning this is the part start. Sounds like Keegan.
Yeah, it's probably pretty emotional for them.
That's no. Chris to me. Oh, that was my shot.
All right. They made it work.
So that sounds like Keegan at the end.
Yes.
I gotcha. Yeah. So you're just going for the deepness of the voice.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me the most obvious tell. When you look at them, they're it's like very marginal.
I think I have you in terms of I can look at them and know who is who.
That's I could probably give you that because I am not great at recognizing.
What's the last one, Kyle?
FaceTime every single day. Usually we don't even talk about basketball stuff. I mean, it's just my twin brother. We just talk about life and stuff like that. So
that's Keegan, by the way.
It's Keegan, but I'm going to say Chris to try to tie it up.
I don't know what he's showing you, but
I'm showing him a picture of Chris and Keegan, but we'll get to it.
Okay.
After.
So
I know who that, by the way, that's Keegan on the left. That's Chris on the
left.
So
there's a ESPN article that has Chris and Keegan on the cover and it doesn't have, or on their thumbnail, and it doesn't show their number or anything like that. So you're saying the one on the, let's finish this game.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you were trying to get it. Chris knew it's Keegan. Yeah. Yes. That last one is Keegan.
So Chris wins because I knew it was Keegan, but I said,
but
Chris anyway.
I win because I stumped both of you on one of them. That's
true.
I feel like I win if I can stump
That's
you.
True. And here in the YouTube chat, Xavier did pretty well. Ryan and Sacktown. I think Ryan and Sacktown had 3 out of 5. There you go. Dave W. Cadence. Chris talks a little bit faster. Interesting.
Ooh, I didn't hear that.
Interesting.
That's interesting. Okay, so in this picture, I just, because you said you could do the, and this is about as close
this
of
This is the extra 15, folks.
Yes,
this is
the
bonus.
This is what we like to call
You remember DVDs,
overtime.
the bonus on DVDs,
what's
that's what
DVD?
You're getting right now.
Yeah.
Oh, get out.
What's a VHS? okay, maybe I could show it to so the screen can see it as well. So you're saying, let me unplug my laptop here. You're saying.
That's Keegan.
This is Keegan.
Yeah.
This is Chris.
That's right.
Okay. We're going to go to the article here. I guarantee this is just riveting radio right now.
Yeah.
People are sitting on the edge of their seat trying
And people on YouTube trying to stare at Chris's computer.
Okay, well, you got wrong, because number 24 is Chris Murray, and that's Keegan.
They must have done a jersey swap. Is that the end of the game?
The amount of people who said that, okay, they just did the jersey swap. They're back to normal now on the other teams is just, it's
Or
crazy.
Did you guys see the joke of, was it Devin Booker who was making fun of his former teammates for doing the jersey swap
incorrectly?
Well,
they were holding each other's jerseys
What if
still?
Keegan and Chris did that, where they were holding their own
their
jerseys,
own jerseys
and didn't do the swap?
No,
like,
that's good
throw
stuff.
People off.
Wow.
That's
well,
absolutely
I guess
incredible.
I guess I don't know. But those aren't straight on pictures. I'm telling you yesterday when I'm watching, I'm thinking.
Sure.
You know, they don't look the same to me.
Do you think it would be awesome or the worst thing ever to have a twin who looks exactly like you?
I think I would be down.
I think it would be really, and I from
but
what
I always
I understand,
wanted a brother.
It's a
in
common
general.
Twin thing, but I think it would be really hard to like
set yourself apart as an individual.
No, I agree. I'd have to be better than them at
everything. And, like, everybody would call you the wrong name, and, like, you would just get so sick of it and be like, no, I am, like, how do you not see, because it's, of course, so obvious to Chris. They're like, we don't even look alike at all. His nose goes to the left a little bit, and it's like, no one's seeing that. So, like, I feel like I would lose my mind just being like, I am not him, and he is definitely not me.
I'll tell you what, yesterday I would have said, and Whitey said Aaron Styles would be a good name. Whitey, for some reason, loves Aaron more than Allen. That was bizarre. Thank you,
hurtful.
Whitey. And hurtful. But I would say last night, with my whole Bean conversation, I'd say, that was Aaron.
Yeah,
exactly. Allen, like, you guys got the wrong guy. Allen Styles had nothing to say about the Beam.
Yeah.
That was Aaron. All right, we're almost out of here. So let's do something that we don't typically get to do because of crosstalk. Let's preview tomorrow's show.
Wow.
Tomorrow's show, we got a really good show for you as we get ready for Kings, Thunder, first in-season tournament game. We also will be talking a lot of Niners, Brock Purdy, Chase Young showing up, doing his thing. Is it going to be a race to the quarterback just like at the Ohio State with Nick Bosa? We will also be joined by Larry Kruger at 1 p.m. to talk all things Niners and some more Giants. So you're not going to want to miss that on a Friday, fun day, or a freaky Friday. We might I might come dressed like Chris tomorrow. Yeah. I'll have a Nike hoodie on, and he'll do his thing as well. So hang with us. Thank you for Kyle Ledbetter, for Chris Watkins, and myself, Alan Styles. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins, the 11th official show. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Go UC Davis Aggies, Sacktown Sports.
I mean, it was cool. We were playing in the backyard. Doesn't seem like too long ago, so.